Okay, just before you turn to Colossians, can you turn to Ephesians, please? Just a couple of letters before that. Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to read verse 18 to 21. Ephesians was written at the same time as Colossians. There's many similar themes as you go through it. And just want to read Colossians 5, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So just have those words in your mind. And we mention those then as you turn over a couple of pages to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we're gradually slowing down as we go through Colossians, and we're on one verse now. But a verse about singing. It's one of the things that marks out Christians. We are a people who sing. When we get together, one of the things we do is we sing. The standard might not be the best. The quality varies. Some of us bellow. Some of us sing, you can hardly hear at all, but we sing. Okay. Why do we sing? Is it just because we like it? Is it just because it's traditional? No, it's because we're called to sing. And the Word of God calls us to be a singing people. And we want to sing. We're a people with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts that bursts out into song. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If we peer into heaven, let's go with John for a moment in Revelation, into heaven. What's going on? What can we hear and see as we enter heaven? Well, heaven is resounding with song, isn't it? The angels are singing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the hosts of heaven who've already made it there are singing 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, and they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive blessing and honor and glory and praise." And so when we gather here then, as the people of God, believing that as we do so, God meets with us, we believe that, don't we? That Christ is here, well, we're going to want to sing, aren't we? We're going to sing the praises of our gods. And this verse helps us to understand a bit about the purpose of singing and the principles behind it. And as we look at this verse, we discover there's a richness to the purpose of our singing that it's easy to lose sight of. Now, I have to say that there's slightly different ways to interpret this verse. So I'm going to take it as the whole thing is relating to singing. Some translations, you may have a translation, so some commentators divide it up a bit and don't necessarily see the first half as relating to the second half so much. So that, you know, the letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly and teaching and admonishing one another, they separate that from psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But I think that it's together here, that one of the ways that the word of Christ dwells in us, one of the ways we exhort each other and encourage each other and teach each other is as we sing. Certainly that Ephesians passage that we read speaks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Of course, there's other ways the word of Christ dwells in us, and we exhort and encourage each other through preaching and teaching and through our conversation together, but here we're reminded it's by singing that we do that. So I've got three simple questions there. You'll see them on the sheet. And the first is this. What are we to sing? What are we to sing? Well, Answer number one, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me just deal with the meaning of those, although the Bible scholars agree it's not always easy to see completely what the distinction between these three might be. Well, psalms, generally accepted to be referring to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. So that's the sort of hymn book of the people of God, wasn't it, before Jesus came. The words, the Hebrew word for psalm, is a word related to the word to pluck the string. So generally understood that to refer to a sacred song then that was accompanied by a musical instrument. It was sung, pluck. The second word, hymn, means a song of praise to God. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said that there were three essentials for something to be a hymn. It must be sung, it must be praise, and it must be to God. So a hymn is a hymn of praise given to God. And there are indications, actually, in the New Testament, we have some little snippets of hymns that were sung in the first century. So some of the faithful sayings that we have in the pastoral epistles are thought to be little choruses or part of a hymn that the early Christians would sing as they were reminded themselves and learnt truths. Actually, in Colossians chapter 1, that's those words about the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 15 to 20. You remember how he's the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation, how everything's made through him and for him and so on. That's thought to be very likely to be a part of an early hymn. The sort of the way that the Greek flows, it's thought that was, you know, that's probably a hymn that the first Christians sang. So this psalms, hymns, and then spiritual songs. So Paul puts the word spiritual there because a song might not necessarily be, a song could be about anything, but here it's a spiritual song, a song about spiritual things, with spiritual content, with truth in it. The word literally means a poem to be sung. And it's that word song that's used in Revelation about the new song that's sung in heaven. Now, I've just been actually at the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference for the week, and some of the men there who come along to that are exclusive psalm singers. So they only sing psalms in their worship. And now, while we should sing psalms, and probably ought to sing a few more psalms actually, I don't think that we have to just sing psalms. You listen to heaven, they're not singing psalms, just singing psalms in heaven. They're singing about the Lamb who was slain. We believe in progressive revelation, and we want to sing about the Lord Jesus and in the full light of the gospel. So what are we to sing? We're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms, though not all the psalms were actually written to be sung. You know, not every psalm was written to be sung, was it? You can tell that from how they are. We're to sing hymns of praise to the Lord, and we're to sing songs with spiritual truth in them. Okay, answer number two. What are we to sing? We're to sing that which fills us with the words of Christ. So it says, the verse begins, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." So the word of Christ there means the word that comes from Christ and that is about Christ. So it's speaking about the Bible. What's the Bible? Well, one way we can describe it is this. It's the word of Christ. That's interesting, just as an aside, because what do we often call the Bible? We call it the word of God, don't we? And the word of the Lord. I mean, the Bible calls itself that. And what have we seen throughout Colossians? We've seen that Jesus is God. He's the Lord. And this book is his book, and it's from him, and it's about him as well, isn't it? Not only is he the author of it, he's the theme of it. It's all pointing us to Jesus, who he is, what he's done, how much we need him, all that we find in him. So this is telling us, isn't it, when we think about what we sing, that what we sing must be rooted in the Bible. It's got to be full of the word of Christ. It's got to be biblically sound, and it's got to be biblically rich. So that as we sing what we sing, and as we come to learn it, which is, you know, I mean, the first century believers, they learn the songs. So that as we learn it, that will mean that the word of Christ is is dwelling in us. We're learning the truth. We're learning the great truths about Christ and about his words. They come home and they're in our hearts. One of the blessings of learning, of singing, is it does stick, doesn't it? Sticks in your mind. You remember things. And they're easier to recall. I mean, I can't tell you how many, you know, hospital beds I've been at where, you know, people are dying and you start to sing a hymn and they join in. Because that's what singing does, doesn't it? Hymns do that. And it as we do it, it helps us to learn. If we've got good material in it, we're imbibing a wealth of wisdom and it will help us to be wise and think wisely and respond wisely. That's often the case, isn't it? I had an example of that even this week. Kezia and Andrew down in Haywards Heath are trying to buy a house, and it's, you know, what house prices are like down there. They put an offer in on a house, and they were very hopeful and very excited, but there was about 101 other people going for it as well, and they didn't get it. And Kezia wrote me a little text to say they hadn't got it, and then she just ended it with, his perfect will in his perfect way. That hymn, that hymn, isn't it? The perfect wisdom of our... Just a little example of how, as we sing good stuff, it sits there, doesn't it? It dwells in our hearts. It helps us. So the criteria by which we judge what we sing is it biblical? Is it expressing truth? Is it going to fill us with the word of Christ? Is it going to enrich our souls in the things of God? Is it going to do that? And that takes us to note then that Paul expects what we sing to teach us, okay? And to admonish us. So again, that means that what we sing, it's got to contain truth, isn't it? If it's going to teach us, it should be instructing our minds. So a new Christian, as they sing songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, should be learning things about God and about the gospel and about Jesus Christ and about the Christian life and how we're to think and how we're to live and about heaven and glory. And it should be a learning thing, shouldn't it, as we sing? And those of us who've been Christians for a long time, it's going to be reminding us of truth and strengthening that within us. That's what hymns should be doing. And then there's that word admonish, teach and admonish. Now, we tend to think of that in a sort of fairly negative way, being told off. I mean, I was admonished a lot when I was growing up. But the word really means to exhort, to sort of encourage. So in other words, what we sing also applies truth to our lives and encourages us on and exhorts us and warns us and reminds us and brings us back to things. So we sang that song, didn't we? Those who sow in tears shall doubtless come again, reap with rejoicing. And we're reminding ourselves of truth. That's exhorting us, isn't it? To keep going on in the truth. So, this is the first point, the longest point, by the way. Don't get too worried. What are we to sing? Well, we're being reminded, aren't we, that there's going to be a tremendous variety in what we sing. If you look at the Psalms, it's worth just, probably a good thing to do during this week, to just go through the Psalms and see all the variety of Psalms. You know, they're not all the same, are they? You know, some people think all our hymns should be the same, you know. Same type and sort. But there's a tremendous variety in the Psalms, aren't there? So you get Psalms that are very objective. They're just declaring truth about God and saying, this is what God's like, and saying that. There are others that are very subjective, aren't there? The psalmist is expressing their desire for God or their struggles or they're confessing their sin. Some psalms are addressing God directly, speaking directly to the Lord. Others are singing about him. Some are full of joy. Some are laments, aren't they? And sorrowful songs. We need both, don't we? We don't always feel joyful. Some are long. Some are short. Some are repetitive. driving home a point, bringing you back to it again and again. So if we take the Psalms as our guide, it will be reflected in all our hymns. Now, as a church, we tend to sing a mixture of older and newer hymns and songs. I think that's a healthy balance to have. We've got a rich heritage of hymns written by our forefathers, and we need that. We mustn't sort of forget that line from which we've come, and think that we're sort of, you know, we don't need our forefathers. That's not healthy. One of the great weaknesses of the church today is that we don't know anything about our past or anything about our history or anything about where we've come from. We need that. Yeah, there are great hymns that have been a blessing down through generations that our parents sang and our grandparents and our forefathers sang. And we mustn't just go, oh, this is all old and we don't need any of this. Now, I know the words can be hard and some of you struggle with some of those words, and sometimes we need to tweak it a bit or we need to explain it a bit, but with some thought and with some effort, we can understand them and we can be blessed by them. We mustn't lose sight of that. But we can't just live in the past. We can't just become a sort of museum piece. So we've got good hymns still being written today, and we want to sing hymns that are expressing that those old truths in new language, in the language of our day. I mean, after all, Charles Wesley and Isaac Watts, their hymns were new ones, weren't they? And they were wanting to write for their people and in the language of their day. So we might not, you know, you go to the National Trust place and you we went to one the other week and in the kitchen they're all dressed up like they used to be, and they're using all the old stuff. And yeah, it's interesting to go along and see what it was like then, back then, and how things were. But we don't want people. Well, that's not what we want to be here, is it? We don't want to just be like a museum piece. Yes, so we've got a history, we've got a past, and we want to sing those great hymns and love them. But we're not living in the past; we're living today and in our generation. And so we want to be wise about what we sing. Try and be careful and wise about what we sing. Some people want to try and only sing hymns by people who are just exactly the same as them and believe all the same truths and hold to everything the same as them. It's virtually impossible to do that. I mean, if we did that, we'd have to stop singing Charles Wesley and because we don't agree with them on everything. So Spurgeon, he had a hymn book for his people, and he said, "Judge a hymn on its words and content, not on its author." Yeah, and I agree with that to a large extent. I do think we still have to be wise. Now, people and churches have different views on this. I haven't knowingly chosen any hymns that come from the Hillsong Church or from Bethel. There's a group called Bethel. Not because I don't think any of the hymns are good or that people aren't Christians there, but because they come from a pushing something that I think we need to avoid as a church. The sort of health, wealth, prosperity line. They're linked with people who I wouldn't just consider to be in error on things, but false teachers. So, you know, each church must do what it feels right on that. But I've avoided those songs because I just don't want to be endorsing that. I think we have to be wise. So, what are we to sing? We're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, a whole variety that will help us as we worship God. What are we sing? That which means the word of Christ dwells in us, and that which is going to teach us and encourage us and build us up. Good blessing to us. Okay, how are we to sing? How are we to sing? First, I mean, a number of things, and there are obvious things in many ways, but then we need to be reminded unitedly. Okay, now we can sing on our own. Actually, I heard a sermon. I was listening to a sermon a couple of weeks ago when the person was encouraging people to sing in their own devotion. So I don't know whether you do that or not. You know, whether you're part of your own Bible time and you sing. I'm saying that's a good way to just quicken your heart. Well, but primarily singing is something we do together. Paul is addressing this church, isn't he? He's addressing believers together. And this is to be an expression of our united hearts. Together we're expressing one thought, one heart, one desire. Paul, look at the previous verse, verse 15. He's reminded us that we're one body, aren't we? And one of the things we do together that unites us together is we sing. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. When you're singing a hymn that really expresses the desire of your heart and the thoughts of your heart, and there's people around you, and they're singing it as well, and that's their desires and their loves and their joys. And it reminds us that we're one. It's expressing our unity. And I think it's worth noting, it's something we do, we all do. So we don't come to listen to the band and, you know, perhaps sing along if we want to or not, if we can manage the same key as the singer. We do this together. Everyone's needed. We all need to sing. Unitedly. Enthusiastically. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I mean, it's not explicitly stated there, but it's implied, isn't it, in the very nature of singing, that it's something you do enthusiastically. So Psalm 66, verse 8 says, "Let make the voice of his praise to be heard." So it's to be done with enthusiasm. Now, I know that some of us have louder voices than others, and some of us enjoy singing more than others, but it's to be done with enthusiasm, so that if people come in here for the first time, they go, "Man, these people actually mean this, don't they? They actually love these truths, and they love this God, and they mean it." I mean, that ought to be evident when people come in. On Thursday, I was down at the funeral for my uncle John. He was our pastor in Bradford-on-Avon for 20-something years, and I mean, you know what it's like. You go to some funerals, don't you? And it's just, the place might be full, but it's a whisper. Well, we took the roof off on Friday. It was a tremendous occasion. Tremendous to be there. Now, we're going to think in a moment. Ultimately, it's our hearts the Lord listens to. But the Lord's given us singing. I mean, it's a gift, isn't it? Music's a gift. It's different from just saying truth. And we're to do it with enthusiasm. Also, we're to do it with grace. So it says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I know some translations have with thanksgiving, but it is the word for grace. It's the, you know, but by grace you have been saved. It's the same word, charis. So I think we're reminded that ultimately, if we're going to sing, we need to know the grace of God, don't we? I mean, how can you sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," really, unless you've been brought to see that you're a wretch, and you've been brought to see your sin, and you've cast yourself on Jesus, and you've known his grace in saving you? Well, then you can sing, can't you? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." So, what is to fuel our singing? Ultimately, it's not a love of singing. It's not a love of music. What's to fuel our singing is grace, isn't it? Our singing is the grace of God in our hearts bursting out into song. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you known that grace? Have you been singing this morning out of experience? Can I ask you that truly? You know, have you sung of the Lord this morning as somebody who knows him? As somebody who's cast yourself on him? Has your singing this morning been a response to the grace of God? Now, that word grace also sort of carries the idea of thankfulness. That's probably why some translations translate it thankfulness. And it is to be an expression, isn't it, of our thankfulness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We've got so many things to be thankful for, even in the midst of trials and troubles. Actually, if you turn to that Ephesians, Pat, just turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. It says there, doesn't it? Next verse, after it speaks about singing, verse 19, verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So how do we sing? We sing unitedly, enthusiastically, with grace from the hearts, okay? with grace in your hearts. Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your heart. So we know, don't we? Ultimately, that's what God's interested in. Yeah, he does love singing. He's created us to sing. God loves beauty. He likes harmony. Those are things. But ultimately, it's about the heart, isn't it? Because what did you remember? You children perhaps remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees, quoting Isaiah, and these people draw near to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me. I mean, that's what God knows, doesn't he? That's what God sees. That's the words that we sang, do they reflect our hearts? Are they coming out of our hearts? The heart speaks of sincerity, doesn't it? You know, it's easy to sing words without thinking about it, isn't it? When we get to a hit through a hymn and you go, oh yeah, that was the last verse, wasn't it? I mean, you know what I'm like. I can start singing the wrong verse because I've been drifting partway through. So we have to be careful, don't we? And we need to come prepared, don't we? We need to think, wow, we've come to worship God. We've come to sing. We need God to keep us from mere routine. What's God wanting people to worship him in spirit and truth? So let me ask you a question. I'm asking myself the question this morning. What's God seen as he's looked at our hearts? I mean, he's heard our words. What's he seen? Singing with grace in your hearts. That also reminds us we come with our emotions, don't we? Heart speaks of the emotions. With all our being, we sing. Okay, that's how are we to sing? There's something wonderfully simple about it. I think we need to hold on to simplicity of New Testament worship. That it's, you know, there they were, meeting from house to house, or gathering in the court of the temple. And there was a simplicity about their worship. It's what our forefathers fought for and died for. That's what churches like this were established on. We don't need all the bells and all the whistles. We just... It's a simple worship. And that's not... We mustn't lose sight of that. Okay, let's ask one last question. Who do we sing to? Well, I think both here and in Ephesians, we're reminded that there's a horizontal level and a vertical level. On the horizontal level, as we've already said, Paul is making clear that in singing, we're teaching and admonishing one another. Okay, so Ephesians says, that Ephesians passage is even clear, isn't it? Speaking, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when we sing, we are actually singing to one another and with one another, and we're reminding one another of the truths and of the gospel and of the things of God. So that when you come and sing, you should want to encourage others as you sing. You should want to exhort others as you sing. I mean, we know what it's like. We come together and we feel low and we're discouraged and our hearts are cold and we turn up here and we've had an argument before we came and everything's gone wrong, and then we begin to sing the praise of God, and we hear our brothers and sisters sing, and we're encouraged and our hearts begin to stir and we sing to one another. I mean, there are psalms that do that. Just bear with me. Psalm, for example, just one example of many. Psalm 115. You know, that psalm that begins, "Not unto us, O Lord." But verse 9, for example. "O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help. And O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us." You see, you're talking to one another, aren't you? You're saying, come on, keep trusting. Keep remember this. So singing loud enough for other people to hear is important. Now you go, oh, I haven't got a very good voice. I ain't got a very nice voice. That doesn't matter. You know, I love it when I sit in a pew and I can hear the person behind me singing. It's great. Oh, that's what they sound like. The people in the front, in the pew in front, ought to be able to hear you singing. Now, you know, I put my hand up. I know I sing loudly, and you know, when I sing, people fall over the pew in front and want to get out. But we need to sing so that we can hear. It's important. I know we're smiling about it, but it is important. There's a horizontal level in our singing. We're singing to one another. We're reminding one another of the truth. We need to remember that. Still sing, even if you think you're not any good at it. But then there's a vertical level, isn't there? We sing to the Lord. It says that, doesn't it? Sing to the Lord. Ultimately, that's what we're doing. God is here. I mean, if we just grasp that a bit more, the Lord is listening. We sing to him. We sing about him. We sing in his presence. We sing his truth with him here. We sing of what he's like and what he's done, what he means to us. And what a thing to be able to do. Imagine the Queen came to Great Ellingham and we were given the privilege of putting together a choir to sing her something as she arrived. And that sort of thing happens, doesn't it? She goes somewhere and she has to stand there awkwardly while some people sing to her or something. Imagine that we were given that opportunity. Oh, how careful we'd be, wouldn't we? We'd be practicing and we'd want to do it well. Brothers and sisters, let me remind you, every service, the King of Kings comes. We're in his presence. We sing to him. I mean, what an amazing privilege. How we should want to be here and want to be together and think, well, this is where better to be when God's people gather than together praising him. If we grasp that, what a difference it will make. So singing, here we are every week. We come along and we sing. And there's a richness to it. And there's a reason for it. And we need to remember these truths together.